At which point, one of the women produced a knife from nowhere and stabbed one of the other women right in her overdeveloped chest. She fell limply to the floor and lay still, and her murderer snatched up the purse from the bar. The other women thought this was the funniest thing they'd ever seen, and shrieked with laughter. Owen looked longingly at the door, and decided he was going to shoot anyone who even looked at him oddly, especially if it was a woman. Hazel appeared suddenly beside him, and he nearly jumped out of his skin.
What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with me? This is the most appalling, disreputable, and downright awful establishment I've ever had the misfortune to visit. If you were to look up the word sleazy in the dictionary, it would say sea rabid wolf. Get me out of here before I catch something.
It's not that bad, for Miss Port. I used to do a lot of my drinking here when I was younger. Of course, I had no taste then. It gets a bit noisy sometimes, and the clientele isn't exactly elite. But on the other hand, it's never boring.
There's a lot to be said for boring. What did you find out about Ruby Journey? Hazel scowled.
Ruby worked here briefly, but they ended up firing her for excessive violence, which probably took some doing in a place like this. They've no idea where she might be now.
Does that mean we can get out of here now?
You really don't like this place, do you? Isn't the ambiance growing on you?
If it does, I'll scrape it off. I just know I'm going to come down with something disgusting simply from breathing what passes for air in here. I've had boils on my buttocks that were more fun than this.
Hazel pointed out one of the ladies at the end of the bar.
I think she fancies you.
I'd rather die.
And that was when the fight broke out. Owen didn't see who started it or why, but suddenly everyone in the inn was fighting everyone else with swords, knives, broken bottles, and anything else that came to hand. The din was appalling, with battle cries, screams, and foul language filling the air. Blood flew in all directions, and bodies fell to be trampled underfoot. Owen drew his sword and backed up against the bar. One of the few things he had learned from his tutors was that discretion usually was the better part of valor. Or, to put it another way, only an idiot gets involved in other people's fights. He shot a glance at Hazel and winced. She was grinning at the mayhem with undisguised glee and looked as though she might dive in at any moment just for the hell of it. Owen grabbed her by the arm, got her attention by shouting right into her ear, and pushed her firmly toward the exit. She nodded disappointedly, and standing back to back, they headed for the door. A few individuals disputed their progress, but backed off rather than face the obvious competence with which Owen and Hazel held their swords. They eased out the door, stepping over the unconscious body of the doorkeeper, and lurched out into the street. It seemed very calm and peaceful, though the din inside seemed to be going on uninterrupted. Owen began to breathe more easily and put away his sword.
All right, let's get out of here before the law arrives.
The law? Around here? Not unless they're new. The watch doesn't bother this neighborhood for anything less than a full-scale riot.
And this doesn't qualify?
Hardly. Just a few high spirits, that's all. It'll blow over as quickly as it started. You've got to learn to take things more casually, Deathstalker. Mistport's not that bad. It just tends to the dramatic.
The boarded-up window beside them exploded outward as a body came flying through it. Owen and Hazel backed away instinctively, just in time to miss a second flying form. This one wasn't traveling quite so fast, and crashed into a snowdrift not far from the shattered window. He got to his feet with a groan, swayed unsteadily a moment, and then cautiously approached the window.
"I'd like to apologize."
"What for?"
said a voice from inside.
"Anything."
He then set off down the street, walking slowly and carefully, as though he wasn't sure everything was as firmly attached as it used to be. Owen and Hazel shared a smile and set off after him. Up on a slanting roof overlooking the rabid wolf, Cat watched them go with a feeling of relief. He'd been a little worried when they actually went inside the inn, and became even more worried when the mayhem started, because whatever happened, he had absolutely no intention of going in there after them. There were limits. At the last moment, he glimpsed a movement in the shadows below, and instinct sent him diving to one side as the disruptor beam exploded the roof where he'd been crouching. Even so, the blast was enough to send him flying, all arms and legs, trying to find something to grab onto. And then there was nothing but air under him, and he fell 30 feet into a deep snowdrift and didn't move again. Lucian Abbott, The Wampir smiled and lowered the disruptor. He'd never liked Cat. He started down the street after Hazel and Owen, still smiling, still holding the gun. At the entrance of the unlit street, Hazel and Owen stopped dead in their tracks at the unmistakable sound of an energy weapon being fired and moved immediately to stand back to back again. Owen tried to look in every direction at once, but whichever way he looked, there were far more shadows than light. Hazel had told him energy weapons were rare on Mistworld, and he'd stopped worrying about them on such an obviously low-tech world. Now he felt naked and vulnerable, and he didn't even know from which direction the shot had come. He had his gun out as well as his sword, but that was all offense, no defense. A disruptor blast would tear right through him without even slowing. He knew he should have brought a force shield with him. He looked back and forth, sweat starting out on his face despite the cold. And then, from every side, from every shadow, from every street and alleyway, came a small army of men and women. They were wrapped in greasy, mismatched furs, and they all had some kind of weapon. They moved slowly, remorselessly forward to form a circle round their prey. Owen licked his dry lips. There had to be at least 100 of them, maybe more. And then Lucian Abbott stepped out of the crowd, carrying a disruptor, and Owen's heart sank even further. The Wampir was smiling. His teeth looked large and white and very sharp.
"You didn't really think it was going to be that easy, did you, Deathstalker? Just brush me aside and forget all about me. Takes more than one blow to put me down. You have to remember, I'm Wampir. I'm not human anymore. Haven't been since they let me die and then brought me back. Do you like my friends? They're all plasma babies, blood junkies, blood brothers and sisters, bound to me by ties stronger than love or family, life or death. You never did tell them the whole story, did you, Hazel? What it really means to be a plasma baby? I didn't just drink her blood, Deathstalker. She drank mine. Only a few drops at a time, but a little of my artificial blood goes a long way. I take human blood in and refine it into something else. They tell me it's the most potent drug imaginable, a high so intense it's like living and dying all at once. Isn't that right, Hazel?
That was a long time ago, Abbott. I broke free of you. It took everything I had and then some, but I beat you. You're nothing to me anymore.
You belong to me, just like the rest of my children. Come back to me. Taste my blood again, and I'll let you live.
I'd rather kiss a cockroach.
The Wampir smiled coldly.
Kill them both. See that they suffer first.
Owen brought his gun up quickly and fired at Abbott. But the Wampir melted instantly back into the crowd, and the energy beam tore through one of the ragged men and set fire to several others behind him. They died in silence. Incredibly, the crowd didn't falter, hands steady, eyes unwavering. And the Wampir stepped back into the light, still smiling.
I thought that would provoke you into using your disruptor. Now it's useless till the energy crystal has recharged. I won't let them have you, Deathstalker. I want you for myself, not for the price on your head. Money means little to me anymore. No, I want to break you, humble you, cripple you. I shall enjoy that. And then I'll let you drink a little of my blood. And you belong to me, body and soul.
Owen put away his gun and swept his sword back and forth before him. You talk too much, Wampir.
Let's do it.
The Wampir surged forward, arms outstretched, moving impossibly fast. Owen braced himself and stepped forward in a perfect lunge, sword extended, and Abbott impaled himself on the long blade. It entered just below the heart and punched out his back in a flurry of black, viscous blood. Abbott grunted once and then stepped forward, forcing himself along the blade so that he could reach the Deathstalker. Owen pirouetted on one foot, brought the other up to slam against Abbott's belly, and jerked his sword free again. He backed away, watching incredulously as the wound in the Wampir's chest healed itself in seconds. Right, thought Owen. Fast, strong, regenerates. Wonder what else he isn't telling me. He cut at the wampir's throat, and Abbott slapped the blade aside with his bare hand. Owen backed away again, and Abbott came after him. Hazel was suddenly there behind the wampir, aiming her disruptor. A dozen of the crowd piled onto her, ripping the gun from her hand and holding her down. She struggled fiercely, but their weight was too much for her. Owen scowled and subvocalized the trigger word, boost. He'd been using it far too often just recently, and he hated to think what the long-term effects were going to be. But it wasn't as if he had any choice in the matter. The world seemed to slow down as the boost took hold, supercharging his system and buying him time to think. The wampir was fast, but so was he now. If he could just get past the wampir's defenses, one good cut to the neck would decapitate him.
Regenerate from that, you bastard.
He danced around the wampir, cutting and drawing back, spilling the black blood, only to see the cuts heal in a moment. The wampir moved with him, his hands reaching out to tear and hurt, the two men moving too quickly for the unaided eye to follow. Owen thrust and stamped, cutting where he could, going always for the throat, but never even getting close, while Abbott's grasping hands came closer every time. Owen licked his dry lips and panted for breath. The boost gave him some regeneration, but he didn't think it would be enough to repair what Abbott intended to do to him. And then he moved too slowly, anticipated too late, and Abbott's hand closed around his wrist like a vice. The wampir's hand tightened, and all the feeling went out of Owen's hand. The sword fell from his numb fingers, and Abbott laughed softly. Owen dropped his free hand to his boot, pulled out the dagger he kept there, and rammed it between the wampir's ribs. Black blood ran for a moment, and then stopped. The wampir smiled, and threw Owen 20 feet. The crowd scrambled to avoid him, and he hit the packed snow hard, driving the breath from his lungs. He rolled over slowly, biting back a groan. His hand was completely numb. Abbott was walking unhurriedly toward him, still smiling, the knife jutting unnoticed from his ribs. Owen lurched up onto one knee and crouched there for a moment, breathing hard. And then his good hand brushed against something in the snow, and his heart missed a beat as he recognized what it was. Luck had finally smiled on him, and he was back in with a chance. Abbott loomed over him, grabbed Owen's shirt front with both hands, and lifted him off the ground. His feet kicked helplessly, 6 inches above the snow.
It's over, little man.
Bet your ass.
And Owen brought up the hand holding Hazel's lost gun, thrust it into Abbott's gaping mouth, and pressed the stud. The energy blast blew the wampir's head apart like a rotten fruit, and black blood and brains flew across the air. Abbott's hands slowly released Owen, letting him fall back onto the blood-spattered snow. He scrambled quickly away, tucked Hazel's gun into his belt, and scooped up his sword with his good hand, beating the other against his thigh to get the feeling back again. And then, finally, Abbott's body fell and lay still. The crowd of onlookers surged forward and fell on it like rats on a day-old corpse. They tore the wampir's clothes apart, cut the flesh with their weapons, and sucked at the black blood like leeches, their mouths working greedily against the pale flesh. Others fought over the blood spilling sluggishly from the severed neck. Owen staggered over to Hazel, who was back on her feet and shaking her head dazedly. She looked up sharply as he approached, then looked across at the feeding frenzy of the mob.
I really think we should get out of here, Hazel.
Owen flexed his hand, grimacing at the pins and needles, and then gave Hazel her gun back. She nodded quickly and looked about her.
I get the feeling it's not going to be that easy, Deathstalker.
Owen looked around him, and his blood ran cold. The crowd had left the wampir's body and reformed itself around them. Most had black stains around their mouths, and all their eyes were fixed on Owen and Hazel. There was a growing tension in the air, and the faces of the crowd slowly filled with the same slow hatred. Their master, their god, was dead. There would be no more of the wonderful blood that had made them feel like gods too for a time. Owen looked quickly about him, but the odds were equally bad whichever way he looked. He stood back to back with Hazel, and they held their swords ready. And the mob came at them from all sides. At first, the sheer size of the crowd counted against it. They weren't used to working together and kept getting in each other's way, but the black blood burned within them, and they struggled for a chance to get at the man who had killed their god. Owen cut and thrust with skilled precision, killing coldly and dispassionately, with the minimum necessary movement and strength. The blood junkies died and fell, but there were always more to take their place. Hazel fought at his back, stabbing and cutting. Blades came at Owen and Hazel from all directions, swords and knives and machetes in never-ending numbers. Owen fought on, doggedly refusing to be beaten. The boost still flared within him, bright and powerful, but he wasn't sure how much longer it would last. The candle that burns twice as brightly lasts half as long. He gutted a skeletal man wrapped in evil-smelling furs, ducked a wild swing from the man next to him, and cut viciously at another face that pressed too close. He'd already taken a dozen minor wounds he was too busy to feel, and blood soaked his clothes, some of it his. And still the crowd surged around him, desperate to drag him down. It came to him suddenly and quite calmly that there was no way he and Hazel could survive this. There were just too many of the blood junkies. It only needed one of them to get in a lucky blow, and the fight would be over. A hell of a way for a Deathstalker to die, pulled down by nameless dogs in a nameless back alley. He smiled slightly, even as he cut and thrust. He'd felt this way once before, on Viramond, when his own men had surrounded him, desperate for his head. But then Hazel had come from nowhere to save him. This time, she was in just as much trouble as he was. She couldn't save him. But perhaps he could save her. He considered the thought dispassionately, and found it good. He owed her his life, and the Deathstalkers always paid their debts. And at least this way, his death would mean something. He forced back the maddened faces in front of him with wide, sweeping strokes to buy him a little space, and drew his disruptor. Enough time had passed to recharge the crystal. Some of the crowd drew back just from the sight of the energy gun. Owen tilted his head back to yell at Hazel. He could feel her back bumping and jarring against his, showing that she was still alive and fighting, but he had no way of knowing what shape she was in. Hazel, I've got a plan!
Better be a good one, Deathstalker.
I'm going to blast a hole through the crowd with my disruptor. When you see the opening, run. I'll keep them occupied.
Are you crazy? I'm not leaving you to die. I didn't save your ass last time just to run out on you now.
Hazel, I can't save both of us. If you don't run, we'll both die. Please, let me do this. Let me save you.
There was a pause.
You're a brave man, Deathstalker. Wish I'd known you longer. Do it.
Owen summoned up the last of his boosted strength and threw himself at the crowd. Blood pounded in his head and boiled through his veins, and all his pain and tiredness disappeared like a fleeting thought. His sword swung and hacked like a part of him, driving back the vicious faces before him, his blade moving too fast for the eye to follow. The crowd fell back still further, confused for the moment by the deadly force in their midst, and Owen raised his disruptor and fired. The blood junkies threw themselves out of its way, but still the searing energy beam tore through those who didn't move fast enough, and for a moment there was an opening in the crowd.
Run!
Yelled Owen as he pulled Hazel round so she could see the opening, and she lowered her head and ran. She burst through the crowd and on into the deserted street beyond. She pounded down the street and only slowly realized no one was following her. She stopped and looked back, and all she could see were the backs of the crowd intent on one struggling figure in their midst. Hazel slowly lowered her sword and felt something burn in her eyes that might have been tears. He'd never liked her much, any more than she'd liked him, but he'd sacrificed himself to save her. For a moment, she wanted to run back and fight beside him again, but that would just have thrown away the chance he'd given her. As she watched, the crowd pressed in from every side, hacking and cutting, and Owen fell beneath them to disappear under the crowd of bodies. A sob forced its way past her trembling mouth.
"Don't mourn for him," said a quiet, distorted voice behind her. "It's not over yet."
She spun round, sword at the ready, and found herself facing a tall, stocky man in a dark uniform she didn't recognize. She had a brief glimpse of a subtly inhuman face with blazing golden eyes, and then the figure was past her and running toward the crowd with impossible speed. A few turned to face him, but he was among them in seconds, swinging his sword in long, deadly arcs that picked men up and threw them aside like puppets with broken strings. Men and women fell to every side of him, and the crowd scattered, unable to face the newcomer's incredible strength and speed. From their midst, a blood-stained figure rose up again, still savagely swinging his sword. His voice rose above the clamor, strong and strident.
Chandrakor!
Hazel's heart missed a beat as she realized who it was, and she had to blink back fresh tears. She should have known Owen Deathstalker wouldn't die that easily. Together, he and the newcomer moved among the dispersing crowd like unstoppable nightmares, and bloodied figures fell to the stained snow and did not rise again. No one could stand against them, and after a few moments, no one tried any more. The surviving blood junkies turned and ran, and as quickly as that, it was all over. Owen and the newcomer lowered their swords and watched them run, and then looked at each other appraisingly. Hazel ran back to join them, then had to put a supporting arm round Owen as his knees buckled. He was trembling like a horse after a race, but he still managed a ghastly grin for her, despite his many wounds.
You realize that this is the second bloody time I've had to be rescued by somebody else. Just once I'd like to rescue myself, okay? Is that so much to ask?
Oh, shut up and get your breath back. If you were drowning, you'd complain the straw you were clutching at wasn't a good enough quality. What was that you were shouting?
My family's battle cry. I never used it before. Never thought I would. Surprising what goes through your mind when you realize you might not be about to die after all. Speaking of which, who's your new friend?
Don't ask me. I thought he was a friend of yours.
They both turned to look at their unexpected savior, and he looked silently back. His face was subtly inhuman, just as Hazel had thought. There was something wrong in its planes and angles, as though strange and unfamiliar emotions had shaped it. But it was the eyes that held the attention, that brought goose flesh to Owen and Hazel's arms and raised the hairs on their necks. The eyes glowed a bright gold in the dim light of the street, as though lit from within by some strange inner fire. They marked him like the brand of Cain. He was a Hayden man, one of the legendary augmented men of Lost Hayden. They were rare now, seen perhaps once in 100 worlds, the few survivors of the terrible Hayden Man Rebellion, when cyborgs created by men sought to wipe out humanity, root and branch. They failed, just, and now the last remnants were scattered far and wide across the Empire, feared and courted wherever they went as the ultimate warriors. They were supposed to be shot on sight, but usually no one was stupid enough to take them on with anything less than an army. Few and far between now, lost and forsaken, the bitter end of a once brilliant dream.
I am Tobias Moon, said the Hayden man in a harsh, rasping voice that had no place in a human throat. I am a partially functioning augmented man. Most of my implanted energy crystals are exhausted, and I lack the means to recharge them. I am therefore unable to utilize most of my implants, but I am still more than capable of seeing off a few blood junkies.
How did you know we needed help?
A message from Cider. She thought you could use some assistance, and that we might be able to help each other.
Up on a roof overlooking the street, Cat sighed with relief. He ached all over from the fall he'd taken, but luckily the snowdrift had been just deep enough to cushion the worst of the impact. Now that the Hayden man had finally put in an appearance, he was free to return to the Blackthorn for some much-needed rest. Shadowing Hazel Dark and the Deathstalker had turned out to be a full-time job. Still, they should be safe enough now with Moon. There weren't many people stupid enough to annoy a Hayden man. He set off slowly across the rooftops, hoping fervently that he'd never have to see any of them again. They were too dangerous to be around, even for Mistport. Down in the street, Owen and Hazel looked round sharply as they heard someone moving in the mess of bodies lying scattered across the bloody snow. A single figure was moving, trying to drag itself away. Its useless legs dragged behind it, leaving a trail of bright red blood. Owen started after it, and Hazel put a staying hand on his arm.
No need to kill him, Owen. He'll bleed to death before he gets far.
Owen jerked his arm free.
I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to see if I can help.
Are you crazy? He's a blood junkie. He was quite happy to kill you.
The fight's over. I can't just leave someone to die if I can help. If I did, I'd be no better than them. I am still a Deathstalker, whatever the Iron Bitch says, and we are an honorable clan. Besides, a few years ago, that might have been you, Hazel.
He quickly caught up with the crawling figure and knelt beside it. He put a gentle hand on its shoulder, and the figure shrank away from him with a weak, desperate cry of fear and pain. The figure wasn't very big, barely 5 feet tall, wrapped in filthy, shapeless furs. Its legs were soaked in blood from the thighs down. Owen murmured comforting words till the figure stopped wailing, as much through weakness as anything else. Owen examined the wounded legs as carefully as he could without touching them, and shook his head slowly. Either he or the Hayden man had cut right through the muscles in both legs, crippling wounds on a world like Mistworld. He shrugged uncomfortably and pulled back the hood to see the face beneath. The breath went out of him, and he felt suddenly sick. She couldn't have been more than 14. Half-starved, the bones of her face jutted out against the taut skin. She looked up at him with empty eyes, beyond hope or despair. No room in her face for anything but pain.
Plasma baby,
said Hazel quietly behind him.
They start them young in Mistport.
She's just a child. Dear God, what have I done?
She would have killed you and never given it a second thought. Finish it, Owen. We have to go.
Owen looked back at her.
What do you mean, finish it?
You want to leave her like that? If she's lucky, she'll bleed to death. If not, and the gangrene doesn't kill her slowly, she'll be a cripple for what remains of her life. And Mistport's a bad place to be weak and vulnerable. It's kinder to put her out of her suffering. Do you want me to do it for you?
No! No. I'm a Deathstalker. I clear up my own messes.
He drew the dagger from his boot and thrust it expertly into the girl's heart. She didn't moan or shudder. She just stopped breathing, and her eyes stared straight past him. Owen pulled the dagger out and then just sat there, rocking slightly, trying to hold back the emotions within him. Hazel hovered at his side, unsure what to do for the best. She wanted to put a hand on his shoulder to comfort him, let him know she was there and understood, but she wasn't sure how he'd take it. He was a strong man and a proud one, too, but he still had unexpected vulnerabilities.